Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Technology Report and This is America, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we take you to Los Angeles, where biking to work is becoming more popular.
The city has added more bike lanes in the last two fiscal years than in the previous 30 fiscal years combined.
Then we go to the Los Angeles Auto Show and report on what the show's organizers are calling the cars of the future.
Smartphone app we have allows you to check your tire pressures, check your oil level or your oil life.
Biking to work in the city of Los Angeles and looking at the cars of the future at the Los Angeles Auto Show. Those are our subjects today on As It Is. People in Los Angeles are known for their love of cars. The city is very large, and its public transportation is either slow or limited. So people drive everywhere. Traffic can be heavy all day. But now, a growing group of bicyclists are trying to get people out of their cars and on bikes. Devon Fitzgerald is a bicyclist. He says he has to be careful when he is riding his bike on the streets of Los Angeles.
A lot of LA folks are in a rush, and it's very easy for them to prioritize their speed over your safety.
But although his bike ride to work can be dangerous, he prefers it over a car.
I like the fact that it simplifies a lot of aspects of travel. For instance, I don't have to worry about parking ever.
Roger Rosas drives to work. He says bicycles are dangerous for cyclists and drivers.
Because you always have to make sure you look to the other side, because if you're going to dodge this guy, because you don't want to do a hit and run, you can also get in a car crash as a result of that.
To make cycling safer, some bicyclists who live and work near each other are riding to work together in what they call a bike train. Nona Varnado helped create the group LA Bike Trains.
You're a big enough group that, you know, cars don't kind of have the same behavior as if you were just one person, and you're also with an experienced cyclist.
LA Bike Trains was launched in May 2013. The number of people riding in the bike trains and the number of routes around the city have been growing.
We specifically design each route so that we avoid problem intersections.
The routes range from 7 to almost 32 kilometers long. Herbie Huff is a transportation expert at the University of California, Los Angeles. She says in recent years, city planners in Los Angeles have been putting more bike lanes on roads that were designed for cars and trucks.
The city has added more bike lanes in the last two fiscal years than in the previous 30 fiscal years combined.
Ms. Huff says bike lanes give cyclists options that they do not have with bike trains.
With anything that runs on a fixed schedule, whether it's a bike train or a train, there's only so many people that can make that schedule.
Nona Varnado of LA Bike Trains says there should be bike lanes that are separated from car lanes.
I think that we should have a far greater infrastructure than a few little paint lines on the street.
And she says bike trains can do what a bike lane cannot.
We want people to develop that mental sense of security and confidence by riding together in a group.
Modern automobiles and their drivers are becoming connected through wireless technology to entertainment and information systems. VOA recently visited the Los Angeles Auto Show. We found that high-priced luxury cars like BMW are attempting to become friendly to the environment. This car, an electric i3 model, is made with lightweight carbon fiber. It also has the latest electronic devices to make driving safer. The i3 includes a camera that lets the driver see the area directly behind the car. It is equipped with automated parking assistance and collision avoidance systems. Teresa Moriarty works for BMW. She says the i3 is equipped with automatic braking. Stopping or slowing down the car adds power to its battery.
Anytime you're not accelerating, the regenerative braking kicks on and the car will slow, adding some energy back to your battery.
Bluetooth is connecting.
Another automaker, General Motors, has developed a high-tech system for a hybrid version of its Cadillac model. Power for the car comes from gasoline, a traditional fuel, and electricity. Stuart Fowle works for General Motors. He says the high-tech system lets the driver start the car from a distance. It also lets the driver see how the vehicle is operating from halfway around the world.
Smartphone app we have allows you to check your tire pressures, check your oil level or your oil life. It allows you to check your fuel level, how much range you have on that tank of fuel.
For operators of many vehicles, technology connects cars and trucks on the road. Joshua Turner works at a company called Sprint Velocity, which helps create those connections.
If, for instance, a fleet vehicle were to experience a flat tire, the system in vehicle would be able to transmit that to the appropriate repair technician and then also alert the fleet management when that vehicle was able to come back online.
Cars can already tell drivers about nearby fuel stations and gasoline prices. Airbiquity sells online vehicle services in 50 countries. David Jumpa works for the company. He says cars will soon be able to share information with each other.
Information that there's ice on the road ahead, right? Based on the information the previous car, just passed up.
Vehicles cannot yet talk to one another, but David Jumpa says they will be able to in the future. And that's our program for today. It was based on stories from VOA reporters Elizabeth Lee and Mike O'Sullivan in Los Angeles. You can see Elizabeth's video report on biking to work in Los Angeles and Mike's video report on the Los Angeles Auto Show on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. We would like to know what you want to hear about on a future show. Write to us at VOA Learning English, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. You can also go to our website and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. I'm Christopher Cruz. Thank you for spending some of your day with us. Jim Tedder will be here tomorrow with another edition of As It Is on the Voice of America.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Technology Report. It seems that electronic devices just keep getting smaller. Scientists in the United States have announced the creation of the first transistor with only two dimensions. A transistor is a small electronic device that transfers, or carries, electrical current. The device helps to create an electrical circuit that provides power to other devices. Scientists hope these new 2D transistors will be used for building high-resolution displays that need very little energy. Two groups of scientists created these 2D transistors. One group is at the Argonne National Laboratory outside of Chicago. The other group is at the University of California. They report that the transistors are only a few atoms thick. Any layer of any material that thin may be considered two-dimensional. Usually, transistors are made with the element silicon, but the scientists say they used materials that have even better electronic properties. Computer processors, memory chips, TV screens, and other electronic devices contain billions of silicon-based transistors. But these very small electrical parts have certain limitations. Dimitris Ioannou is an electrical engineering professor at George Mason University. He says the traditional transistor has been improved as much as it can be. He adds that researchers have been looking for new materials with special features. He says researchers want transistors to be see-through and soft.
If the layers are very thin, then the transistor can become flexible, so it doesn't have to be rigid like it would be in a silicon chip. So people can think of applications like wearable electronics, like television screens and other things.
These new transistors can also carry higher current. They also can move the current much faster than traditional transistors. This is important for high-definition screens. Dimitris Ioannou says the scientific success could prove very useful in the future.
This is the first time every layer is a single layer, more or less. And that's the novelty of it. Now, how good and how useful it will be, it's still in the research phase, but it's certainly an advance.
Scientists say there is no good method for printing a large number of these new transistors on one base material. But they believe that someday it may be possible. And that's the VOA Learning English Technology Report. For more technology stories, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Give us a like on the VOA Learning English Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter, at VOA Learn English. You can also watch videos on the VOA YouTube channel. I'm Jonathan Evans.
from VOA Learning English. Welcome to This is America. I'm Steve Ember. The tallest structure in America's capital city is the Washington Monument. It is named for George Washington, the first president of the United States. Come along with us as we tell about the Washington Monument and the man it honors. The Washington Monument is a big building named for an important American. George Washington led the American colonies in the War of Independence against England from 1775 to 1783. Later, he headed the group that wrote the United States Constitution. As president, he helped the new United States of America through its difficult first years. Over the years, millions of people from around the world have visited the Washington Monument. It stands almost 170 meters high, close by the Potomac River. The four sides of this tall obelisk, or tower, end in a point at the top. The Washington Monument is one of the most photographed places in the world. Lights shine on it at night. It can be seen from far away. Fireworks are launched near the monument on America's Independence Day, the 4th of July, and during other special celebrations. George Washington was born in 1732. His family lived in Westmoreland County, Virginia. George attended school for only about 7 or 8 years. He wanted to become a sailor. However, his mother would not permit this. So George became an explorer. At age 20, he became an officer in the Colonial Army. In 1753, the colonies still belonged to Britain. Major George Washington carried a message from British colonial officials to French forces. At the time, French forces occupied the Ohio River Valley. The message ordered them to withdraw. It was a dangerous duty, and George Washington completed it successfully. George Washington continued to gain responsibility in the army. However, as time passed, he became angry with the way England governed the American colonies. Taxes were high, and the colonies had no representation in the British Parliament. The war against Britain began in 1775. The Americans named George Washington commander of the Revolutionary armies. Many of his soldiers were untrained. They were poorly equipped. During one winter of the Revolutionary War, his troops almost froze to death. But General Washington led them to victory. The last British troops left the former colonies in 1783. After the war, George Washington strongly influenced the writing of the new Constitution. Then, in 1789, the first American Electoral College met. It named him the first president of the United States. 3 years later, he wanted to retire. He planned to live with his wife, Martha, at Mount Vernon, their home in Virginia, along the Potomac. but others appealed to him to run for president again. The ballots were counted in 1793, and he was re-elected. George Washington was not perfect. He kept slaves at Mount Vernon. However, he freed all his slaves during his lifetime. He also urged the nation to end slavery in the future. Washington gave the nation a good start. He helped prevent the country from becoming a dictatorship. He prevented it from being ruled by a king. He helped establish freedom of religion. And now, let's look at the Washington Monument. It took many years to build the monument. America almost got a very different memorial to George Washington instead of the present one. Congress decided to pay for a statue of Washington on a horse. The lawmakers did this even before the signing of the treaty that ended the American Revolutionary War. The statue was to show how General Washington led American troops to victory against England. However, he said he did not want the nation to spend money for the statue. A group called the Washington National Monument Society started raising money for a memorial in 1833. Officials placed the first stone of the monument on July 4, 1848. The Roman Catholic Church leader, Pope Pius IX, gave a piece of marble from Rome for the monument, but the stone was stolen a few years later. People suspected that an American group called the Know-Nothings took the stone. Among other things, the group opposed the Roman Catholic Church. After that, the public almost stopped giving money for the building project. Many believed it never would be finished. Then Congress started to help pay for the monument, but again, the Know-Nothings intervened. They raided the Washington National Monument Society office. They claimed the monument was their property. Finally, in 1876, Congress voted to pay for building the Washington Monument. On December 6, 1884, the monument was finished. It opened to the public 4 years later. A visit to the Washington Monument begins by getting a ticket. Long lines often form at the ticket office. For that reason, it is a good idea to buy tickets on the internet. Once people have their tickets, they stand in a line near the monument. Depending on the time of day and the time of year, that line can be very long. The monument is surrounded by 50 flagpoles. The flags represent the 50 American states. National Park Service guides supervise the Washington Monument. They lead visitors to a big elevator for the ride up to the observation area at the top. The observation area is more than 150 meters above the ground. You'll hear lots of oohs and ahs as visitors stand at the windows. Looking north, you can see famous buildings like the White House. You can also see the Corcoran Gallery of Art and a hotel where America's 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, once stayed. To the east, you can see the U.S. Capitol building, where Congress makes laws. You can also see the Smithsonian Institution Museum buildings along the mall. And to the west, the view includes the World War II Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, and the Potomac River. The elevator trip back down is equally interesting. Through the windows, you can see some of the almost 200 carved memorial stones on the inside walls of the monument. Every state gave a stone to the monument. Stones also came from other countries. For example, one stone came from the Library of Alexandria in Egypt. The Free Swiss Federation in Switzerland gave a stone that says, "To the memory of Washington." Japan gave a stone made from volcanic rock. The Washington Monument was forced to close in August of 2011 after an earthquake damaged the structure. The 5.8 force earthquake shook communities up and down the East Coast. People said they could see the monument moving during the quake, which caused cracks and fallen stone. The monument stayed closed for nearly 3 years while workers completed $15 million in repairs. During that time, metal scaffolding or supports covered the monument as the work progressed. Lighting on the monument shone on the metal and its plastic coverings, making beautiful sights, especially at twilight. In May of 2014, thousands of people attended a ceremony for the official reopening of the monument. Officials spoke, performers entertained, and everyone celebrated the reopening. The Washington Monument is just one of many ways Americans have honored their first president. The Northwest state of Washington is named for him. So are many cities, schools, and streets in the United States. We should also mention the Washington Monument that rises in Mount Vernon Square in nearby Baltimore. A sentence written on a wall in the Washington Monument expresses the way many Americans feel about George Washington. It says, "He was first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen." This program was written by Geraldine Watson. I'm Steve Ember, inviting you to join us next time for another This is America program from VOA Learning English.